Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day.
And good Thursday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson here with today's Issues. And you're saying, okay, where's Tim? Well, Tim is out of town. Where's Ed? Well, Ed, I think I was told this morning this is National Pepperoni Pizza Day. So I think we gave Ed the day off because of that. Walker Wildman's here.
Yeah.
You didn't stay home for Pepperoni Pizza Day.
Not today.
No.
Not today. That didn't keep me from work. But Ed is actually in Michigan.
Ah.
He and Wesley and Brian Fisher are in Muskegon, Michigan today, and they'll be back tomorrow. So a lot of folks on the road, so that leaves Team B here. Fred, myself, and Chris Woodward. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I like mushroom and green bell pepper pizza. No meat.
Yeah. A lot of ways to keep up with the show. The first way you can do that is to visit the Facebook page, Today's Issues on Facebook. Also, you can watch the show on YouTube. And then lastly, visit our website, afr.net, and you can listen live 24/7. All right. Well, Chris, you want to jump right into the news?
Well, Kavanaugh. You know, a lot of times in our nation, Friday is the big day when something big drops. Maybe in the afternoon, for whatever reason, it's always on Friday. Tomorrow, Friday, will probably be no exception to that rule, whatever it may be. That's because Senator Chuck Grassley, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, has set a 10 a.m. deadline for Christine Blasey Ford's legal team to respond to his request for her to speak to the committee regarding her sexual assault allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. This, of course, after days of talking about it. The attorneys have appeared on CNN, MSNBC, all left-leaning news outlets, things like that. Chuck Grassley, many of the other Senate Republicans have said, you know, we've given you ample opportunity. It's time to do this or we're moving on. 10 a.m. tomorrow, again, is the deadline. I'm assuming that's Eastern time. And we actually had on American Family Radio yesterday, Vice President Mike Pence was on Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, and he said Senate Republicans have done the right thing throughout this entire process. Clip one.
Now, that being said, as President Trump has said over the last several days, with the allegations that have emerged, it's important that we give it time, that we hear from both sides, and we have every confidence that Senator Grassley and the Republicans in the Senate will handle these allegations properly. I know Senator Grassley has laid forward a range of options from an open session hearing to a closed session to private staff interviews, and the staff in the Judiciary Committee has already begun following up on leads following Dr. Ford's allegations, and that's all very important. And again, we're confident the Senate will handle it.
Fred, I wonder, it seems to me, well, it doesn't seem to me, it's evident that the Republicans are bending over backwards to accommodate Dr. Ford and her accusations. And I'm not going after Vice President Pence's statements there. He's just stating the facts about what Grassley and other Republicans in the Senate are doing in regards to this. And some may agree with how they're going about this. They're being very gentlemanlike with Dr. Ford. But at some point, if she doesn't want to come forward, she doesn't want to cooperate in any sense, how long do you drag this thing out?
Well, I think we are coming to the end of this, unless by 10 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow, Ms. Ford comes forward and says, I will testify. I've got a feeling she will not. And she's depending on the mainstream media then to have headlines tomorrow saying she's being denied justice. Mm. That's what you're going to see. In fact, there are 100 protesters, as we're here in this studio right now, there are 100 protesters that have arrived at the door of Senator Chuck Grassley's office in Washington. Mm. They're there putting their fists in the air saying that Ford isn't being shown due justice in all of this. But here's the reality. I think, given the Me Too environment in which we are in today, and the fact that there were several Republican senators, now I'm talking about Jeff Flake of Arizona, who sits on the Judiciary Committee,
Bob Corker.
Bob Corker is not on the committee, but he came out public and said, I want to hear what she has to say.
Yeah.
Senator Lindsey Graham initially said, yes, we need to hear what she has to say. Senator Susan Collins of Maine. These are all Republican senators. So I believe she sits on the committee as well. Mm-hmm. So I think all of these Republican senators applied pressure to Senator Chuck Grassley to come out there and say, okay, let's take our time. We want to give Ms. Ford the opportunity to come and testify before us, to give us evidence to whether she can prove her allegation against Judge Kavanaugh. I think what has happened now, because I think initially perhaps the Democrats and Ms. Ford did not expect that the Republicans were going to say, okay, come on.
Yeah, play nice.
We'll delay. Remember, the vote was supposed to be held today in the Judiciary Committee. So they said, no, we'll cancel that. Mm-hmm. And we'll. And then they, 2 days ago now, they said, we'll schedule a hearing for this coming Monday.
Yeah.
You can come in, and we're going to listen to you and what you have to say. So I don't think they expected that. So now they changed the strategy to say, well, okay, we think there should be a full FBI investigation. So those senators who were kind of almost on the fence, Republican senators, are now saying, wait a minute. We've given this woman plenty of opportunity to come forward, to testify before us. We're going to listen to her story, but she's not giving us a chance to do that.
Right.
So this morning, we're now hearing from Senator Flake. We're hearing from Senator Corker. We're hearing from certainly Susan Collins, even. She gave an interview to a radio station in Bangor, Maine yesterday. They're all saying basically if she doesn't show up, then we need to press forward with the vote.
Yeah.
That's it.
And Chris, I know you've looked into this. You talked to Hans von Spakovsky,
yeah,
if I pronounced that right, over at Heritage Foundation, about whether, let's just say Judge Kavanaugh is a couple of days late getting to the court, getting a sworn in at the Supreme Court building. Could he still begin hearing cases and play out this this cycle?
Yes. The answer is yes. Now, hypothetically, if they were to hear arguments in a case on October 1st or October 2nd, and he was confirmed and put on the bench on October 4th, I'll say, he can't be a part of the rulings on those cases 1, 2, and 3. It would be anything that he is part of the proceedings on from that point forward. So he could be, even if it were to carry into 2019 and they finally get it, you know, and they finally confirm him, he would still be a member of the Supreme Court of the United States on the 2018-2019 term.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, Walker, I understand American Family Association has put out an action alert to our followers, encouraging people to at least pray for and support Judge Kavanaugh.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This morning and yesterday afternoon, we sent out an email because initially we weren't going to weigh in on this because we thought this is a mess. You know, it's not our mess to clean up, so let's just not weigh into it. But there's so much chaos going on. There's so many differing opinions, and most of them aren't good opinions. And so we thought it would be good for us to weigh in, kind of provide some clarity for our supporters on this issue, and we did that. And so you can visit our website and view the alert. The headline is, What to Do About Kavanaugh. You can just visit afa.net, click on our action alert link, and you can read that email. But to sum it up, our position is, first off, this is purely political. It's evident. We've seen this before. We saw it with Clarence Thomas in 1991. We saw it with Herman Cain when he tried to run for president several years ago. We saw it with Roy Moore in Alabama last year or earlier this year. And so we've seen this game played by the Democrats. And to sum this up, if the accuser, if there is not 2 to 3 witnesses with the accuser that corroborate her story, then this issue should not even be heard. It should not even be heard. The Bible is clear on that. There's scripture in Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. There's scripture in Matthew in the New Testament reaffirming that principle. 2 or 3 witnesses in order for a charge to even be established that then can be tried in front of a court. So our position is Judge Kavanaugh needs to be confirmed ASAP, as soon as possible before the Senate, and then take his place on the Supreme Court.
Yeah. You know, and meanwhile, too, people continue to take Senator Dianne Feinstein and other Democrats to task for how they've handled this situation. Oftentimes, the news coverage is about what Republicans are doing right or wrong. Mm-hmm. Senate Democrats continue to get taken to task for what they've been up to these past week or so, a few days at least. Vice President Pence also talked about that. This is clip two.
What Senator Dianne Feinstein has done here, what Democrats in the Senate have done here, is very unfair to Judge Brett Kavanaugh, and it is a great disservice to the process. I mean, the fact that Senator Feinstein apparently had this letter more than 6 weeks ago, never raised the issue in her interview with Judge Brett Kavanaugh, never brought the issue to the attention of other members of the Judiciary Committee, is just a great disservice to the process and to the American people, and of course to Judge Brett Kavanaugh and his family. And frankly, it follows on conduct by many Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee who I think virtually embarrassed themselves during the public hearings that were on display just a short days ago.
Now, I know he is the Vice President of the United States, but he is a former member of the United States Congress. He was also the governor of the great state of Indiana. He knows the ins and outs of proceedings. He knows the rule book. He knows the procedures, the rules that may not be written just on how things are done. Mm-hmm. So he's not just coming at it from I work for the administration. Mm-hmm. He knows how things should be done, the precedents for why things are done that way. And I think, he knows what he's throwing out there.
Yeah, and really, as Fred mentioned, the Democrats have really fumbled this as far as how to handle it. They really don't know what they're doing. That's why they keep changing their messaging. They say, well, she needs to be heard. Well, then the Republicans say, all right, well, come on. We'll be glad that. Matter of fact, we'll fly to California. Well, the FBI needs to look at it first. And so anyways, a lot going on here. And the last thing I'll say before we move on to the next subject is that the accuser, Dr. Ford, she said in her letter, I wish to remain anonymous. I wish to remain anonymous. I don't want to have to go through this whole public chaos that we're seeing now, this public circus. Well, guess who leaked her letter? The Democrats. Mm-hmm. The Democrats leaked her letter, and she said she wanted to remain anonymous. Can you imagine if a Republican had leaked the accuser's letter? They would be saying, you're disrespectful to the accuser. You're not respecting her privacy. You're unnecessarily making her vulnerable to the public and to the news. So, but no one's asking who leaked the letter. Who leaked the letter?
One more thing. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. Most of the mainstream media, Hollywood, entertainment industry, are all coming out in support of Dr. Ford in all of this. And, of course, one of those is Joy Behar on the ABC's View. Listen to what she had to say yesterday about the old white men, referring to the Republicans on the Judiciary Committee. It's cut number four.
This is what I grew up with, that men are supposed to protect you from these predatory males.
I do too.
And they're not doing that.
And believe
on
you.
On the contrary.
But we have
these people in Congress right now, in that Senate Judiciary Committee, these white men, old, by the way, are not protecting women. They're protecting a man who is probably guilty. If you're not Judge Kavanaugh, take the lie detector test.
Yeah.
Prove it the way she did and the way Anita Hill did, that they were not lying. Let's see that from you. Or are you a coward?
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. That wasn't sexist, was it?
Not our ageist.
or racist. Old white men.
Yeah.
Well, Dana Loesch, a frequent guest on Fox and Friends and other Fox programs, she could not let this comment from Joy Behar go. Let's hear Dana what she had to say, Dana Loesch, this morning.
It wasn't old white men that for 6 weeks sat on the accusation from this particular individual, Dr. Ford. It wasn't old white men that kept it quiet and did nothing to verify the claims or to investigate or to even reach out or comfort the accuser. In fact, it was those old white men that Joy Behar is assailing on The View who moved swiftly within a day, within the period of 24 hours, to immediately reach out, offer to privately come to this individual to hear her her claims, to hear her accusations. It was those quote-unquote old white men that moved to resolve this issue and seek a pathway to justice, if justice is to be had. We could talk about the old white men in the Democrat Party that are ignoring the claims of Ms. Monahan, who is the accuser of Keith Ellison. For a party that claims to protect women, here's a woman that came forward with medical records and really reputable claims and a lot of corroboration to back it up, and yet I've heard nothing about protecting women from this particular party where it concerns the accuser of Keith Ellison.
Now, what she's referring to at the end, Keith Ellison, Democrat congressman from Minnesota, who, by the way, has just won the Democrat nomination to be attorney general of that state. So in the wake of the whole Ford Kavanaugh incident or story, Keith Ellison's former girlfriend has come forward and says she was physically abused by Keith Ellison. She's made that very public. But she says, where are the Democrats coming? How come no Democrats are defending me? She is even, this girlfriend, former girlfriend of Keith Ellison, has taken her medical records. She actually went to doctors after these alleged incidents of physical abuse at the hands of Keith Ellison. She went to the doctors. She has put out the doctor's reports on Twitter. And strangely enough, she puts these doctor reports on Twitter and they disappear.
Multiple times.
What's going on there?
Yeah.
So there you have it. I mean, what Dana Loesch is saying is the absolute utter hypocrisy of the Democrats over and over and over again. People have pointed out, where were the Democrats when the accusations were coming forward against Bill Clinton?
Right.
From Paula Jones, from several other women, Jennifer Flowers and others. Where were the Democrats then? Nowhere to be heard.
Yeah.
Now, I did do some investigative reporting here. I pulled up the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And amongst the members, the Republicans anyway, Senator Mike Lee in his 40s, Senator Ben Sasse in his 40s, Senator Ted Cruz right around 50.
Right.
Far from being quote-unquote old white men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you what's kind of ironic is, I watched the Clarence Thomas hearing from October 11th, 1991, when they pulled the same shenanigans on him, the Democrats, that is. Guess who was chairing that committee? Senator Joe Biden was chairing that committee. And guess who was sitting beside him? Orrin Hatch of Utah. And so it was just bizarre to see 20-plus years ago, you know, you had the same men sitting there and the same who are big in politics now sitting in the Senate. And I do wish there was more turnover in Congress with term limits, but that's not how it is. But about the Keith Ellison thing, just to hit on this for a minute, you know, we read these Kavanaugh accusations as if, you know, we give them we report what is accused on the air because it deserves to be said. And so, and we always say it's alleged or, you know, accused. But I'm going to read this doctor's note from Keith Ellison's old girlfriend. And this is a little different than 36 years ago in high school, no pictures, no corroborating evidence, no doctor's note, nothing, no police report, no witnesses. And so, but this lady, Keith Ellison, Congressman Ellison, said, yeah, we dated for a while, but he denies the claims. Here's what her doctor wrote down while she was in the doctor's office. Her name, the patient here is Karen Monahan. And the doctor said that she states, talking about Miss Monahan, Keith Ellison's ex-girlfriend, she states that she was in a very stressful environment for years. Emotional and physical abuse by a partner with whom she is now separated. She did not have any physical injuries that required a physical examination in the past. She identifies the individual she was involved with as Congressman Ellison, and she is worried about retribution if she identifies him publicly. She feels that she is in a safe environment now, and she is following up with therapy and relaxation. She has had reduced anxiety with extracting herself from the relationship, and she feels much happier now. And so that was from November of 2017 from an MD at a Park Nicolet Medical Center. So there's a doctor's note. And the media is not giving this an ounce of its coverage, Chris.
Yeah. Well, you know, we Steve has done a great job covering things like shadow banning, things being underreported, reach not being what it was in previous postings and things like that. This does seem to be one of those situations where it's happened, especially since this woman has tweeted the information, or she's tweeted, you know, things, and then they disappeared for whatever reason. And, of course, it comes at a time in which Twitter, Facebook, social media in general have already been taken to task for other things they're doing to people. You know, we had a Dana Loesch audio there just a minute ago. A couple of weeks ago, she was on Washington Watch with Tony Perkins talking about her negative experiences with Twitter. And she said it actually dates back a couple of years for her. There was somebody who posted her phone number and took a picture of her house. And the phone starts blowing up at night, and people are, you know, making all these creepy threats and things like that.
Right.
The police got involved. They go to Twitter. They were asking for information to be turned over, things like that. According to Dana on that show a couple of weeks ago, Twitter didn't play ball, refused to do it. Around that same time, a gun control fan that she lives near had some not-so-nice things said to him. Twitter was happy to turn over that information and get that person blocked, so where they couldn't make threats against the gun control supporter. And it's clear evidence that people on the right do not get the same fair and equal treatment that they deserve on something such as a Twitter, Facebook, social media platform.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Good point, Chris. Breaking in here, this is, we don't know much about it now, but according to Fox News, multiple people have been shot and potentially killed in a Maryland shooting. Aberdeen, Maryland. I'm not sure where that is, when in coordination to like Washington, D.C. and Virginia. But that's according to Fox News. We don't know much about it now. It looks like it may have been at like a big warehouse or a workplace. Liberty Support Facility is what Fox News is saying. So we'll keep everybody updated on that. We'll keep, once we have some numbers or official reports of what happened, we will bring it to you. What you got next, Chris?
Well, you know, we've been hearing a lot about how Democrats, there's going to be this Democratic tsunami in November in the House, maybe even in the Senate. They might retain some seats, things like that. There are two big stories in the news cycle today. One of them, beginning with this story from Fox News, California Republican leads Obama-backed Democrat accused of sexual misconduct in hotly contested race. The Republican here is Young Kim, a former representative in the California State Assembly. She's leading in California's 39th congressional district race, a new poll says. Meanwhile, Fox News is also reporting a Texas Republican has won his state Senate race in a district held by Democrats for 139 years. So when you have a president saying, don't believe everything you see and hear in the news, this seems to add weight to his argument. And oh, by the way, let's not forget all those polls going into November of 2016 were wrong.
Yeah,
now, Hillary and other people would tell you it's because Russians.
Right.
But we know 2 years later those polls weren't right.
Right, exactly.
And here you have two people in Democrat strongholds, Republicans, winning. Yeah. So we'll see what happens in November. And again, don't. I mean, I even work in news. I don't believe everything I see and hear in the news.
You have to be very skeptical, Fred, of believing every poll.
Oh, listen, Rasmussen, one of the major poll takers in this country, has said in interviews, all a poll is a snapshot of a group of individuals you've decided to talk to. That's all it is.
Yeah.
You got to be very careful of that. Also, I still believe the best asset the Republicans have heading into the midterms is President Donald Trump. He's back on the road again. I think he's going to be in Las Vegas tonight. And every time and everywhere he goes, he gets these huge rallies. So, yeah, don't believe everything you read, especially in the liberal media.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk more about that and what President Trump needs to do to get out the base in November. You're listening to Today's Issues. Fred Jackson, Chris Woodward, Walker Wildman here sitting in for Tim and Ed. We'll be back after the break. More news coming your way. We'll be right back.
on the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and I couldn't pay my bills. I was feeling so bad. I got to a point where I needed some help. So I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813 to talk to a certified counselor.
They were able to take all of my different payments and put them all together.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
And they were actually able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off close to $15,000 in the last 18 months.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. The folks in charge of Fairfax County, Virginia, have been perplexed in recent days. They've been trying to figure out why college students have not been sending back their absentee ballots. So the county decided to hold a focus group to find out why. And the answer could very well shake your confidence in our great nation. It seems the number one reason why college students did not return their absentee ballots is because they don't know where to buy postage stamps. I'm going to let you process that bit of information for just a moment. 18, 19, 20-year-old young people don't know where to find postage stamps. It's bad enough they can't do long division or use a rotary dial telephone, so what exactly are we teaching these kids? A number of college interns were part of the focus group, and they all agreed they get stumped over stamps. Just wait until they figure out they've got to lick it, too. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to Today's Issues. I am guest hosting with Fred Jackson today. My name is Walker Wildman. Fred Jackson and Chris Woodward in studio talking about the news today. Before we jump back into the news and give you a brief update on what's going on in Maryland that I mentioned before the break, here's a good way that you can share how American Family Radio has impacted your life or encouraged you in certain ways. Our fall share-a-thon is coming up in mid-October, October 16th, 17th, and 18th, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of that week. We will be asking you to come alongside American Family Radio and financially support us and keep our 181 stations on the air. Here's what you can do to call in, leave a voicemail, leave your name, where you're from, and how American Family Radio has impacted your life. Here's the number to call, 877-876-8893, 877-876-8893. Call in, leave a voicemail, tell us how American Family Radio has impacted your life. Chris, give us a little update on what you're reading about the Maryland
incident. Yeah, happening right now, what's being described as an horrific shooting at a Maryland distribution center in Aberdeen, Maryland, northeast of Baltimore, up 95. Just looking at the map, maybe an hour from Baltimore. But at least three people were dead Thursday after a horrific shooting at a Maryland distribution center, according to the AP. Police initially reported there were multiple victims, and the Harrod County Sheriff's Office confirmed the shooting near Sespucha and Perryman Roads in Aberdeen, if I said that correctly. This, again, is at the Liberty Support Facility, which is a portion of the Rite Aid Distribution Center, Rite Aid being one of the nation's pharmacy chains. There is a press conference coming up in the not-too-distant future, so please stay tuned not only to this program, but American Family News at the top of the hour, and then again at 1 Eastern, 12 o'clock Central.
Mm-hmm. Fred, some of these incidents that you see at these warehouses and factories, it's most of the time it tends to be workplace dispute, is a disgruntled former employee.
Former worker, the police will tell you that it's one of the most common, when you have multiple shootings like this, it's one of the most common places, a person who is disgruntled perhaps about being fired. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it involves a spouse mm-hmm. who has, you know, the wife, the husband is working at this particular place, and they go in and they are distraught and they just start shooting up.
Yeah.
So we don't know any of that yet, but quite often, as you say, it has to do with someone disgruntled with the company or with someone who works at that company. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, good point. Well, just yesterday, I believe, or 2 days ago, maybe on Tuesday, the Senate passed a budget. And I wanted us to talk about this. I know our listeners really get into this subject because it seems that we cover it every 6 months or so. But Fred, tell us a little bit about this budget that the Senate passed and what's good and what's bad about it.
Well, hold on to your seat, folks. Let's go back several months. When you remember when President Trump reluctantly signed onto an omnibus bill, which was for far more money than what he wanted to, and it didn't include money for building the wall on our southern border. And at that time, he said, I will never do this again. Now, you would think that his fellow Republicans in the Senate would take note of that. Hmm. Well, guess what, folks? The bill that they haven't given support to, the Senate now, is $33 billion more than the omnibus the president signed last spring, saying he wouldn't sign again. And the president, not too happy with that, tweeting out this morning, I want to know where is the money for border security and the wall in this ridiculous spending bill, and where will it come from after the midterms? Dems are obstructing law enforcement and border security. Republicans, this is in capital letters, Republicans must finally get tough. And I think the president's tweet on that this morning is going to resonate with the people who voted for him.
Mm.
No question.
Yeah, Chris?
Yeah, we'll see whether or not that impacts turnout in Nevada today. I don't think it will because, as Fred mentioned before we went to break, he continues to have massive turnout at his rallies. The president is going to be in Las Vegas later today to campaign for Nevada Republican Senator Dean Heller. He's in a tight race. He's faced tight races before but never lost an election. Apparently, he's in a close fight with Democratic Representative Jackie Rosen, a first-term congresswoman who stands to benefit from a wave of Democratic and female activism fueled by opposition to Trump. One of those issues is the border wall.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I was talking to my dad the other night, and, you know, we both agreed that the Republicans play three different cards. They play the military card, they play the we're running out of time card, and then they play the election card.
Mm-hmm.
And they rotate them in such a fashion that you almost forget that they've used them over and over again. And so, but we've been told this, even just since President Trump has been in office, we've probably been told this five or six times. All right, you know, we want to fund the wall. We're running out of time. We just got to get our government funded. We got to fund our troops, and we'll cross this bridge next time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come out and say, well, we got an election. We don't need to damage the Republicans, the view of the Republicans amongst the general population. So this is almost becoming a joke.
Yeah. People talked about this after Romney lost to Obama in 2012. Someone started it going, and I think it just kind of snowballed. They said Democrats play to win, Republicans play not to lose, and there is a difference.
Yeah.
there is a difference. We continue to see that. It's the, well, if we do this, then we're going to lose that, or we need to cater to more of the young people who are a little bit more left-leaning, and we've got to do this. Whereas Democrats, they hate each other's guts, Obama and Hillary, but they come together when it's necessary, so that way they can get their ideologies in place, whereas we get the mishmash from the, well, I don't want to go that way.
Yeah, and you know, the one person who proved that is Michael Bloomberg in New York. He came out and did a speech the last few days, and he said, yeah, I'm probably going to run in 2020. But he also said, you know, he said, we've had Republican leadership for 2 years now, and they're not getting anything done. And I'm thinking, you're onto something, Bloomberg, because we have had Republican leadership. And now President Trump is getting things done because he has executive powers. But as far as the legislative branch beyond tax reform, they're not getting anything done. So the Democrats are onto that. And to give the Democrats credit, when they're in office, they actually fight for what they believe in and try to get things done. And that's not good for Republicans.
I'll tell you, I'm fascinated to see the list of all the people that are going to be seeking the Democratic Party nomination. Because I covered the debates back in 2016. The Republicans had 11 billion people wanting that nomination to the point that you had two different tiers of debates, and then you had people that weren't even allowed at the debate because they didn't have enough support.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're going to have. We're going to have that, 2008 was similar for the Democrats. You had a lot of Democrats running. Obama pointed to all of them in one of those televised debates and said, these people are the problem.
Mm.
Then he went on to get elected. He asked them to be part of his administration, and then just took us in so far to the left that we are still making attempts to come back from it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, you had an encouraging story out of Massachusetts I wanted us to talk about.
Yes. In addition to voting for House and Senate members, local leaders, things like that, the people of Massachusetts this November are going to vote on whether to overturn the state's bathroom and locker room law. Massachusetts has, for a couple of years now, had a law in place that allows men in women's restrooms and locker rooms, and people can't say anything negative about it. You can't raise concerns about it. You can't say, what are you doing in here? You can't say, excuse me, sir, my wife and daughter are in there changing clothes. Mm-hmm. You'll have to wait. Things like none of that. There was a massive voter collection signature effort in the last couple of years. They were successful enough, and now an organization called Keep Massachusetts Safe has released an ad urging people to vote this November to overturn the bathroom and locker room law. This is clip 3.
What does Massachusetts question 3 mean to you? It means any man who says he is a woman can enter a woman's locker room, dressing room, or bathroom at any time, even convicted sex offenders. And if you see something suspicious and say something to authorities, you could be the one arrested and fined up to $50,000. Vote no on 3. This bathroom bill puts our privacy and safety at risk. It goes too far.
Now, obviously, you can't see the television ad. It shows a young lady walking in there, and she starts acting like she's going to, change her clothes, okay? And then apparently there is a guy in the stall right behind her that's peeking out, and as soon as she starts to undress, he opens the door and walks out, and she turns around scared.
Mm.
That is the message, because it goes to what AFA, Second Vote, FRC, a lot of people on the right have said about these states or businesses with policies that allow men in women's bathrooms and locker rooms, that it's a privacy issue. And in Massachusetts, even you can't even deny a convicted sex offender from going in these facilities. And they want it overturned. And people would think, well, blue state Massachusetts will never do that.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't think they would get enough signatures either.
Let me ask you this just for clarification. Is the bill on the ballot in November going to be to basically protect women and children, keep men out of women's bathrooms, or is it going to be to affirm Massachusetts' legislative position?
It's going to be to overturn it.
Okay.
It's one of those weirdly worded issues. That's why the group wanting it overturned wants people to vote no.
Okay.
That's why they were specific in their ad, vote no on 3.
That's what I didn't understand. I thought this was from a group that wanted this bill overturned, but they want you to vote no. Mm-hmm. So it has something to do with
the word. Yeah, it sounds like maybe it's an amendment or a ballot initiative that you can choose whether to reaffirm the legislative position or overturn it.
Yeah.
And I guess in voting no, you're overturning the legislative position.
But you know what? I have said many times, specifically when it comes to this kind of development in our culture today that would allow a guy into a lady's changing room, even liberals love their kids.
Oh, yeah.
And that may explain why this has the support it does in Massachusetts. Because Massachusetts, it's a liberal state. Evitagliano comes from there. He'll tell you.
Yeah.
Boston and those areas, very liberal state. But liberal parents love their little girls, too.
Exactly.
And they want to protect their little girls from this. So when it comes down to being politically correct or protecting my little Janie,
right,
I'm going to protect my daughter.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it has a chance in Massachusetts.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And we've seen over the last few decades, when the voters actually get to vote on a ballot initiative over hot issues like this, they, even in liberal states like California, they pass Proposition 8.
That's right.
So the electorate, the people, actually end up voting conservative when they actually get to check a box in November. Mm-hmm. So that's encouraging there, and hopefully a federal judge won't intervene there afterwards and strike it down. But the good news is we'll hopefully have Brett Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court if that case ever makes its way up there. Well, on the line with us is Alex McFarland, not an unfamiliar voice here on American Family Radio. Alex, co-host Exploring the Word each weekday, 3 to 4 p.m. Central. Alex, welcome to today's issues.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be on, as always.
Yeah, Alex, I know you live in North Carolina, and you do a lot of your ministry and work there at North Greenville University. Last week, you had Truth for a New Generation conference. Tell us a little bit about how that went, and then I want to talk to you about Hurricane Florence and maybe some of your experience.
Well, God bless you all. Thanks very much. You know, we're always so blessed. Whenever we do these apologetics conferences around the nation, we are so blessed to have American Family Radio in our corner. And we were in Middle Tennessee last week. And had people like Josh McDowell and Dr. Michael Brown and Nikki Addison and Jay Warner Wallace. I've got to say, I'm thrilled that October 26, 27, we're going to be in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And we're going to be October 25th, we've got Abe Hamilton and myself, and we're doing a prayer rally. And then the 26th, 27th, we've got this conference at Greenville Springs Baptist. So if you're anywhere near Baton Rouge, Greenville Springs, come see us October 26, 27. But, guys, my whole thing is a revival in America, and biblical worldview has got to be a part of that. And, you know, just all of the melodrama that we've been seeing with the opposition to Kavanaugh's approval on the Supreme Court and the redefinition of marriage and transgenderism and unisex changing rooms. Part of the thing that really concerns me for our country is our abandonment in belief in moral truth. Mm. And we're doing these TNG events all over America. We're urging people to come, pray, get equipped, bring your atheist friends, bring your progressive young people that are tragically flirting with socialism. Come and learn about God and country. Because we're losing the foundation that really hold this country together, and they must be recovered and defended.
Alex, switching topics a little bit, and then Fred and Chris can jump in here. They may want to jump back to the topic you're talking about. But as far as Hurricane Florence, I know you live in North Carolina. Did you get displaced or any of your family members? Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, well, thanks for asking. You know, everything east of Raleigh is in pretty bad shape. Fortunately, Angie and I, we just had a lot of tree limbs in our yard. By God's grace, we had a tree limb that was about the size of a truck that missed our house, thank the Lord. But I was actually this weekend going to be speaking to North Carolina United Methodist down east, and the church where that was going to be is underwater. So my worldview weekend with the Methodists is postponed. But, you know, we thank God for ministries like 8 Days of Hope. Samaritan's Purse is all on the ground down there. And let me just say, for the North Carolina Baptist men, they've got a disaster response team, and North Carolina Baptists are generally on the ground along with FEMA, if not sooner, you know. And so while the tragedy is immense, and some 35 people have died, as I understand it, between Virginia and North and South Carolina, the response, especially the response among Christians, has been heartwarming. So we in the Carolinas, we do appreciate everybody's prayers.
Alex, it's Fred here. Your conference is Truth for a New Generation. Whenever I hear that title, I think of an outreach, particularly to millennials. Are you starting to see, and quite often, millennials, when they're polled, they seem to indicate a moving away from traditional Christian values and more accepting of a socialist-type mentality. Are you starting to see a bit of a movement away from that and back to more traditional, I would say, a realistic picture of what's going on in our culture today?
Yeah. Millennials and younger, people that are, let's say, 30 and younger, they are spiritually hungry. I will tell you, there's very often a mistrust of traditional authority structures and authority figures. Because, you know, millennials, for one thing, the public school systems have drilled into the heads of 3 to 4 generations of young people anti-Americanism and secularism. And then for another thing, the pop media just drills into the heads of people negative messages. And, you know, I've got to say this. When Lenin was forcing Marxism on the Russian people, Lenin talked about his useful idiots, quote unquote. And I'm not trying to be, you know, pejorative here. I mean, that's what Lenin used. He thought of it useful idiots. And I think about in America, that would be Hollywood celebrities. And that would be people that are in the media and professors that are so often, tenured professors, very often that have never worked a job in the private sector and had to actually create things. They pontificate from their lectern in these classrooms, and they're anti-America, anti-God, anti-morality, anti-Semitic, and it's taken a toll. But young people are hungry, and deep in their heart, and I know I talk, even kids that aren't born-again Christian kids, deep inside, they know intuitively something doesn't add up. And the good news is, for so many young people, socialism doesn't pass the sniff test, because, I mean, you can't get something from nothing. And I want to say to everybody listening, socialism is a shell game where they confiscate what one person earned, they distribute it elsewhere. It's never worked. It never will work. What capitalism within a moral context has been the most humane economic model that has not only put food on people's tables, but created wealth and the ability to do good things for the betterment of humanity. And so I would just encourage everybody listening that we have got to be encouraged, but we've got to be diligent and prayerful and live truth and speak truth. Please come to Truth for New Generation in Baton Rouge. Go to the website truthfornewgeneration.com. But, guys, I want to say this with everything I can muster. I beg and I plead, go vote this November, folks. The salvation of our country is in reach. But if these midterms go wrong, if we passively let the socialists take control of the houses of Congress, not good. And I just would plead with people to pray for America, stay informed, stay hopeful, but put shoes on the ground and get out there and vote come November.
Amen, amen. That's Alex McFarland. Alex, thanks for joining the show.
God bless you, fellas.
All right, truthforanewgeneration.com if you want to visit Alex and his conference in October, late October. You can go to truthforanewgeneration.com are on. Mickey Addison will be there, Ryan Bomberger, and several other great speakers there in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Chris, you got another story we can touch on before the end of the show?
I do want to throw this out real quick. I heard a message last night at a church service I attended. A missionary was doing the sermon, and he pointed to Matthew 9, a sermon we often hear around missions conference time. And he talked about how Jesus said, look around you. Hmm. You know, the harvest is plentiful. Pray for the Lord to send plenty of laborers. Everybody listening to this program right now can be a missionary. You don't have to go to some foreign field. There are people in your town and your neighborhood that don't know Jesus Christ. And those who think they do but aren't saved need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hmm. So everybody that just heard what Alex said, whether you're young, whether you're a quote-unquote old white man on the Senate Judiciary Committee, you need to be out there because Jesus Christ himself tells us to go and teach and preach the gospel.
Yeah, amen. Exactly right, Chris. Exactly right.
Amen.
Well, one of the other things, just to throw out there, we hear a lot, and oftentimes it brings back memories of the Jetsons, but we hear about how machines are going to take over. And certainly, if you've gone into a fast food place in recent days, you might have noticed there's a few more robots, machines, computers, whatever, taking your order versus a human being. The World Economic Forum has issued a study that says machines will do more tasks than humans by 2025.
I don't doubt it.
Well, and you know, and this brings up this argument that we hear about a universal basic income, because people that are concerned we're going to eventually just replace ourselves with robots and we're not going to have any way to make a living. Therefore, mm-hmm. we need to have a socialist policy where everybody gets a check and you'll go out and spend that money and it's going to help everybody that needs the money and whatever else. They're going to continue to point to these things. And listen, it may not be one of the big headlines. It may not be one of the sound bites you hear going into the November election. Mm-hmm. But as Alex mentioned, you got a lot of people on the far left that want to take over the Democratic Party. And these are one of the things they're going to point to as reason they should have something like
I wouldn't be surprised if there be some kind of government intervention on this topic, because you can only put replace people with robots so much before it will damage your economy. Now, I know someone has to put the robots together, but you could build robots to build the robots. So I'm going to be skeptical when I have a robot putting my Big Mac together, because there's just something about that doesn't seem right. And I'm sure, just like everything else, people will become accustomed to it. Mm-hmm. It'll be the norm. Then you have the whole deal with hacking, mm-hmm. you know, hacking the robots and things like that. But I'm not so sure that will reduce cost. You know, they say it will reduce cost, but robots need maintenance. They need new parts. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're probably going to be expensive to buy. So that'll be interesting to see where it goes, but I don't doubt we've already seen some of these burger chains put in robots.
Well, and you know, to be fair, in our industry, the news industry, there are already things on YouTube where a robot voice will read the news. And mm-hmm. Steve and I watch these. We laugh about them because a lot of times, you know, after the end of a lawmaker's name, like Senator Chuck Grassley, it will be R-IA. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the robot will just pronounce the entire thing, and they'll say, Senator Chuck Grassley, R. Rhea, or Ben Sass is a good example, or Neb.
Yeah, right. And you cannot ask a robot, hey, what did you think of that football game last night?
Yeah, that's true.
They are programmed to state facts.
Yeah.
But they're not going to give subjective opinions on sort of, and you know, our culture, our society, we human beings still like to banter back and forth about those kinds of things.
Exactly.
So I'm not too worried about the robots taking over.
Not the news industry, at least. Yeah,
that's
maybe
right.
The burger shop down the street.
Yes.
But hey, maybe they'll get our burgers right if it's a robot. And who are we going to blame if they get it wrong? The robot? We're going to put them in timeout?
Yeah.
All right, folks, you've been listening to Today's Issues. 1 hour down, we got a half hour to go. Stay tuned to American Family Radio. Today's Issues, more news coming your way. Steve Jordan will join us in studio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.